it's just astounding to watch all of these leaks. We've never seen anything like it, and the deep
right.
state attacking this president. And really, I think that's a great way to describe it,
right.
Because they really are trying to take this man down.
Yep.
Have you actually seen anything like this before?
No, never, ever. You could say that Nixon was a little bit like this, but he richly deserved it. And it was not partisan. It was bipartisan, as was the vote to impeach him, and bipartisan. In fact, it was more the Republicans than the Democrats who pulled the plug. So this is absolutely unique. But why don't you start the tape rolling, and let's go do it.
Okay, great. Yeah, we have the tape on right now, actually.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so you actually have some new information in this book about some of these spy agencies. Is there anything, any tidbits you could tell us for our readers?
Yeah, well, it's more than tidbits. It's a full account of what's going on, because the public doesn't have a clue. This is a full-fledged coup d'etat, very much as if there were tanks rolling up Pennsylvania Avenue. And it's we've never had anything like that in the country, but other countries have. And in fact, it's really patterned after the CIA playbook that they've deployed in Chile and Guatemala and a whole host of other countries.
Wow.
And their method is always you start with a piece with a scandal that can be total disinformation or real, and then you leak stuff to the media. Blow it out of all proportion, put the president on the defensive, and then broaden the accusation to show him to be incompetent and unreliable and all of that, corrupt, and then you go for the jugular. And this is the first time that they've deployed this against us. It's kind of like Guillain-Barré syndrome, you know, where your body's immune system goes after predators, but then at some point it just turns around and it goes after you. And that's really what we're facing. So go back 8 years to when Obama took office.
Right.
He knew that there was a deep state consisting of conservative white men who were determined to take him down, who couldn't stand his leftist policies. And after all, the FBI was the bastion of reaction within the United States. It had always been the leading force in suppressing real communists and imagined communists. And the CIA did likewise in foreign policy, smashing regimes that were a little bit too far left for the United States and subsidizing right-wing parties. But when Obama took office, he realized that he wanted to move stuff in a 180-degree different direction. So he appointed Brennan, who's a way-over leftist, to head the CIA.
Right.
Parenthetically, he voted communist in 1976.
Yeah.
Carter wasn't liberal enough for him. And Eric Holder to be the AG and Comey of Justice at FBI. And his instructions were clean house, get rid of everybody, get rid of this whole right-wing establishment male that's dominating these agencies, get them out of there and replace them with leftists who can serve my cause.
Right.
And they just did wholesale dismissals. Brennan, for example, reorganized the CIA. So that before spies were in one unit, now they were dispersed all over the place in geographic commands, which the spies hated because they were being lumped in with guys that sat at their desk all day and never saw a lick of danger. And most of the spies quit, and it was designed to force them to quit, and they all got replaced by liberals. Holder fired the people that interrogated the terrorists and replaced them with lawyers for the terrorists who were in Gitmo, including his own law firm.
Amazing.
And it became that to get into the Justice Department and get hired, it didn't matter if you went to Harvard or Yale. What mattered is that you were a member of one of five organizations that statistically had 80% of the new recruits into the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department. And the NAACP, Legal Defense Fund, Southern Poverty Law Center, Environmental Defense League, Sierra Club, and Children's Defense. You had to be in a leftist organization to get in.
Wow.
And then 8 years later, when all of a sudden Trump won, and the expectation of this newly created permanent establishment was that they'd have Hillary to control them and that it wouldn't be a problem. When that was shattered, Brennan and Holder got their guys together and said, hey, hunker down, stay at your desks, do not resign, don't leave, serve under the Trump administration, and do our bidding of leaking to bring this guy down. And to help make sure they would stay there, Brennan and Holder transferred together almost 1,000 people from political jobs to civil service jobs where they could not be fired.
Oh, my
God.
Wow.
And thusly protected, they were completely free to leak their heads off. Then we go back to when Trump became more and more likely to win. Nobody thought he would win. Nobody thought he would run. Nobody thought he'd be nominated. Nobody thought he'd be elected. But in July, at the time of the Democratic convention, Trump was then the certain nominee, and people began to take him more seriously. And then right in the middle of it, before the first day of Hillary's convention, this so-called hack emerged where all the Democratic committee documents were suddenly out in public.
Right.
And Podesta, the Hillary's manager, immediately blamed the Russians for it. And the reason he did, I think, was that he couldn't name the real source of it, which is that it was not a hack, but was a leak by Bernie Sanders people who worked on the staff, who hated the way Wasserman, Schultz, and Podesta were running the DNC to benefit Hillary and to screw Bernie.
So they know that it was a leak all along.
I think they do, because they refused to let the FBI even examine their computers. And a new group called VIP, Veteran Intelligence Professionals, who are retired CIA and FBI guys, issued a technical report a week or two ago saying that a hack of that magnitude could only be done if you were physically in proximity to the computer using a flash drive or a thumb drive. And that it was impossible for it to be done long distance by the Russians.
But right. We've reported that.
This whole thing was spun as being done by the Russians. And that created a campaign issue that Podesta desperately needed, because all of Hillary's negatives against Trump were bouncing off him like bullets off a tank. You know, nobody cared about the income tax returns or Trump University or the groping women or any of that stuff. And they decided that Russia would be the issue. And at about the same time, a month before, Podesta had organized a negative research effort to prove that Trump was colluding with Putin. And to do that, he spent $160,000 and sent it to Fusion, which was a negative research firm, to prove the connection. And Fusion hired Christopher Steele, a former British spy who had served in Russia in the 90s, to substantiate this connection. And Steele worked very hard and produced a document that's come to be called the dossier that was a complete pile of garbage.
Sure.
There wasn't a true word in it. It said, for example, that Mike Cohn was the guy who, on Trump's staff, was the guy who flew back and forth to Prague over that summer to arrange the collusion with Russian intel. And in fact, it turned out that he had never been to Prague. His passport showed that. Mm-hmm. And that he was stateside during this entire period. They also fingered a guy named Gubarov. And they said, he's the Russian who hacked Hillary's computer, the DNC computer. And they chose him, I think deliberately misspelling the name, because he couldn't be found. He was serving a 20-year term in the Gulag for pedophilia and had no access to a computer or a telephone, so obviously could not have done the hacking. And then
wow.
The story about prostitutes peeing on the bed and all kinds
right.
of garbage yeah. like that. So with this piece of crap, Steele went to Comey, head of the FBI, and showed him the dossier around July.
Mm-hmm.
And Comey looked at it and said, well, we have to authenticate this. We can't just let this out. So he gave it to his people at the FBI, and they came back and said, we can't make any progress in authenticating this. So Comey called Steele in and said, I'll give you $50,000 if you get to work on authenticating this, and I'll pay your expenses. This is in the middle of a political campaign.
Amazing.
Head of the FBI using tax money to subsidize negative research on the Republican nominee. But he did. And Steele came back and said, I can't verify this. I can't substantiate it. I didn't write it. He said this in a deposition about 5 months ago. I wrote it up based on unsolicited and anonymous material that I received. And I don't know who sent it to me, and I can't get back to them to substantiate it. Now, that raises even more serious question, which is, was the FBI and the CIA and the NSA the source of this information? Did they put this stuff out there themselves, not Steele, but them, as part of this effort to frame Trump? Anyway, so this document, with all of its flaws, they start peddling it to the media. And nobody would touch it. Not a single outlet would publish it. Not a single blog.
Except BuzzFeed.
But BuzzFeed was later. BuzzFeed was after, was in January. We're talking now pre-November, pre-election. Oh. Mother Jones ran a story that was a little bit on point, but not thorough. But nobody else touched it. So after this, they grew desperate. Trump had won. And they never thought that would happen, and they had to move into high gear, the coup plotters. So 2 weeks after the election, there was a gathering in Nova Scotia, and John McCain, senator from Arizona, was going to speak there. And Steele and the former British ambassador to Russia, Andrews, who was part of this whole deal, the whole dossier thing affiliated with Steele's firm, approached McCain and said, "We have this dossier." And McCain said, "I've heard rumors about it, but I haven't seen it." And they said, "Well, would you like to get a copy of it?" And he said, "Yeah." And they arranged to give him a copy. And they did it in this crazy way. They said, "Go to Heathrow Airport, meet a certain flight, go to baggage claim, and you'll see somebody reading the Financial Times, exchange a word code with him, and he'll give you the dossier."
Oh, my God.
And they did that, and he got the dossier, and he flew to Washington, gave it to McCain. This was and that did that, Assistant Secretary of State. And he gave it to Comey. McCain gave it to Comey. Now, Comey knew that this was flawed and was garbage, but he had now gotten it from a U.S. senator. So that gave him the pretext he needed to give it to Obama and to Congress, because it was his duty as head of the FBI. So he did, 11 days before Obama left office. And he knew damn well that it would leak. In fact, that's why he gave it to Obama. And it did leak, and that's when BuzzFeed published it, in the middle of January of 2017.
Amazing.
But nobody believed it. Everybody looked at this thing and said, "Are you kidding me? Hooker's peeing on a bed with Trump watching?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?"
Yeah.
And so nobody believed it. So what they did then was to get a hold of their minions they had seeded into the FBI and the CIA and said, "Okay, guys, now is your time. Begin this program of leaking." And it was leaking to show Trump is incompetent, chaotic, not getting anything done. His people are turning on him. They're fighting each other. And the coup de grace was that on February 14th, 3 weeks after Trump took office, the FBI leaked to the New York Times that its agents had actually monitored telephone conversations between Russian intel and Trump campaign staffers to arrange the collusion. The smoking gun has been found. And the Times ran it as a lead story, and that ratified everybody else saying, "Oh, this must be true." Well, in fact, that night, Comey called Priebus and said, "Geez, I'm sorry about this story. It's not accurate. It didn't happen. I don't know how the hell it got out. And I'm sorry about it." He said, "Well, don't say you're sorry. They're battering down my damn door. Go outside and deny it." And he said, no, the FBI will not submit to the indignity of denying every leak that's attributed to it. And based on this, for 4 months, that story stood out there as credible. And based on that story and all the garbage before it, we have all these investigations. We ended up with the prosecutor, and Mike Flynn gets sidetracked. Sessions has to recuse himself. And this whole coup proceeds based on this foundation of disinformation. It wasn't until mid-June, testifying before the Senate, that Comey, in response to a question, I think from Rubio, said that this was false, that this was disinformation, not no truth to it at all. But yet it was out there and the damage was done. So
right.
My whole point in the book is that this has been a deliberate ongoing attempt to oust this president, defying the judgment of the electorate. And that's what we're
right.
facing.
It's amazing. That's a stunning description of the book.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question about Comey and Hillary Clinton. A lot of people suspect that they have a long relationship where Comey's been favorable to the Clintons. Do you discuss that at all in the book?
Yeah, we do. That Comey got his start in the Brooklyn U.S. Attorney's Office and served there, by the way, with the special prosecutor, Mueller. And under the judge, who was then the special prosecutor, who was then the U.S. attorney, first Loretta Lynch was the U.S. attorney, and then the woman who is now the judge overseeing Mueller was her successor, and they all worked together in that office. Comey is a publicity hound. Don't get between him and a camera. And his record is one of showboating with investigations that often blow up in his face. For example, do you recall that they identified the wrong guy as the anthrax bomber, and they arrested him. They published his name. He was in total disrepute, and it turned out, oops, we had the wrong guy, and he was. They apologized to him, and they had to pay him $5 million for besmirching him. That was prosecution by Comey and Mueller as co-counsel on that prosecution.
Oh, amazing!
So it's a and when the two of them went after Martha Stewart, you know, with trillions in insider trading, they go after her for $100,000 because she's famous. They get a conviction and they get their names in the paper. So that's his background. That's kind of what has been going on.
Uh-huh.
But the underlying point I want to make is that Comey and Mueller are an item. Comey and Mueller have always worked together. When Mueller was the head of the FBI, Comey was the deputy attorney general. In fact, when Ashcroft, the attorney general, refused to sign a certification that was necessary to continue clandestine mega data recovery at the NSA, President Bush sent his chief of staff, Card, to go to Ashcroft's bedside. He was sidelined with an illness. He was in the hospital several mm-hmm. weeks to get him to sign that certification. And Mueller and Comey did not want him to sign it, and they had to stake out of his hotel room, of his hospital room. So he always has been close to Mueller, and this whole setup of meeting with Trump, sitting down every month and reviewing what the FBI was doing. And Trump would say, you know, I want you to get on these drugs and terrorists coming over the border and focus on these lone wolf terrorists. And then Comey would say, well, sir, I'm very busy investigating collusion between the U.S. and Russia. And Trump would say something like, there was no collusion. I didn't do any of this stuff. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. Do your job that I appointed you for. Don't waste money on this. And then Comey would write it up in a memo, leak the memo, and say, I've been coerced. This has been an attempted obstruction of justice. And then he
right.
provoked Trump to fire him, knowing that he would get Mueller instead. And the reason he knew mm-hmm. he'd get Mueller instead, as special prosecutor, is that they sidelined Jeff Sessions by accusing him of talking to the Russian ambassador with the goal
yeah.
of getting him out of the way so they could get Mueller as the prosecutor. And then Mueller staffs up with all Democrats and hitmen. One of the lawyers on his staff was Hillary's lawyer at the Clinton Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm just going through the surface details, but this is all
mm-hmm.
spelled out in my book. And believe it or
okay.
not, this is the United States of America we're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, where does this lead if you had to make a prediction?
Well, we have to stop it from leading where it's going, which is impeachment. And I believe that the Achilles heel of the CIA approach that they're implementing here is that it's based on leaks to the media. It's based on feeding stories, usually false, to willing reporters who run it secretly. And that's illegal in the United States. First of all, it's illegal for the special prosecutor to leak stuff. And secondly, much of this is national security stuff. And the reason Mueller is leaking it is that he understands, that, as Kenneth Starr did and Bill Clinton did under my tutelage, when we were fighting Starr, that when you have a special prosecutor against the president, it's not a judicial proceeding, it's a political one. It's like an election, Clinton v. Starr, Trump v. Mueller, who are you going to vote for? And you have to campaign. And the way Mueller is campaigning is by this process of leaking and to frame Trump. And I think that the answer is that Trump and Sessions should aggressively investigate these leaks, perhaps even appointing a special prosecutor to investigate the special prosecutor and find out who's doing the leaking and go after them. And I think that that would work, and I think that would be very effective. And while you're doing it, have the special prosecutor look into the Clinton Foundation and the tarmac meeting between Loretta Lynch and James Comey and all of those related issues.
Oh, that sounds great. Yep.
Now, there's one other possibility, Jim. The 25th Amendment provides for a procedure for involuntary removal of a president who is incapable of doing the job. And if you notice the epithets that they're throwing at Donald Trump, they aren't.
Oh, yeah.
They increasingly focus on his mental instability, his temperament, his lack of judgment, his inability to do the job within the phraseology of the 25th Amendment. Now, Pence is really loyal to Trump, and Pence would have to go along with his removal. So would a majority of the cabinet. So would two-thirds of each House of Congress. But as this consensus congeals, fueled by phony leaks from the media, to the media, there is really a possibility that that also could be used, particularly since much of the Congress, much of the Republicans in Congress, would really rather have Pence than Trump as president because they can deal with him because he's a politician and they're used to that.
Right. Yeah. And the country would be damned, you know, or the party if something happens with Trump. I don't think the Republicans.
If this ever happens, and it's en route to happening, it'll permanently scar our system. Every elected president will say, well, I won. Now what's going to happen? Look over my shoulder. Yeah. What do the generals think of me?
I don't think the people are with this coup d'etat at all. I think I'm out in middle America, Dick, and, you know, you can't believe what they're reading and seeing, you know. And even liberals are telling me how disgusted they are with the media. So,
In fact, by the way, I just did a poll last week, and Trump is, in fact, 10 points better than the media says he is. At a time when the media consensus was 38% approval, I had 48%. And I used the screen for interviews, so I did not interview people that didn't vote or won't vote. The newspapers interview 1,000 adults. Well, that's neat. But of 1,000 adults, 200 aren't citizens, 100 aren't citizens, 200 or 300 aren't registered, and 200 or 300 have never voted in their lives. And there's about 400 people in there who are voters, but we don't know what they say as opposed to the other 600. And because they're downscale, they usually vote Democrat.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing. That doesn't surprise me at all. I don't think he's losing his support like the media wants you to believe, you know?
Right. So, I think that's true.
This is phenomenal. I can't wait to get the book, Dick.
Good, good. Oh, I'm sorry, we didn't send it to you?
I don't have a copy yet. So,
okay. I'll make sure Sandy sends it out today.
I would love to read it.
Good. Well, email me both of your addresses, and I'll make sure she sends it right out.
Okay, that's great. Thanks so much,
good.
Dick. It sounds like a real farm
and thank
burner.
You, Christina, too. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.